What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. Well, that's normally how this works. They'll be virtually on the sidelines this season, but I'll still be getting their inside knowledge about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help your team win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, the exclusive home of this super short run, super niche, yet super essential podcast for the month of August. And boy, I gotta tell you, every year, I'm surprised at how hard podcasting actually is. This is hard work. I don't like it. It's like giving myself more work. What am I doing? But I also love it. I love it. And most of you out there in the podcastosphere, you make it look so easy. Just turn on the mic and let it rip. I'll get there. One day I'll get there. And speaking of one day, I'll get Eddie the editor back too. Soon here, folks. The podcast is a little dry, and he hooked it up with some solid tunes last year. Some Eddie originals. We need him back. What am I doing? Send him a text. He said he would do it. I'll get him. Who am I talking to? Myself, I guess. I'm trying to record this intro in the tiny window I have while my wife is out running errands and my child is at the park with the nanny. Shout out to Babs the nanny, who will never hear this, but I don't mind giving her some love. We love Babs. All right, my window is closing here, so let's get to it. Today, I dialed up none other than Zach Stevens. Veteran listeners of the pod, no, he's our guy on the inside of the Denver Broncos. He's the Broncos beat reporter for DNVR Sports and DNVR Broncos. He's a Colorado guy covering Colorado's team. Oh, I meant to ask him about Blackhawk and how I think it's going to be the new Las Vegas. Next year. You can find him at Zach Stevens DNVR on Twitter. And he's about to deliver the definitive guide to the 2020 Denver Broncos. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Stevens. Hello, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Living the dream, getting ready to talk some football. You're one of my favorite guests on the pod, so thank you so much for joining me again.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be on for a third year.
Why don't we get the less than fun stuff out of the way first? But it is, I think, what makes this training camp season a little bit unique. And I think it's definitely the type of stuff that people will be tuning in for, because we want to know what it's really like out there living in the world of the pandemic. How are you handling it as someone who covers the team and is usually at camp? Well,
very similar to how the players are handling it. And that is just taking it one day at a time. I mean, we talked to John Elway last week when camp kicked off, and even John was taking it one day at a time, one week at a time. He said, this thing's going to be here for 6 months, so we have to make sure we're doing everything to make sure that we have football tomorrow. And so that's the way I'm taking it, because so much is changing every single day, every single week. You know, the CBA just finalized with these two, with the NFL and the NFLPA. So taking it every day and getting any media access we can and running with it.
The Broncos released a video that broke the internet. Well, maybe just football Twitter, but it featured the team hitting the field by walking through a mister like they're on their way to a day club or something. Maybe that's just me wishing I was at a day club. I don't know. But it was certainly a glimpse of how the Broncos are handling some of the protocols. Can you give us some more info about how the team is handling the training camp in terms of this less than ideal situation?
Honestly, everything that I could think of to make it the safest place possible. And what they're calling it, while the NFL isn't doing a true bubble like the NBA is doing, they're doing kind of mini bubbles. And what the Broncos say is, when you're in their facility, it's like a bubble. And so Vic Fangio is trying to keep the guys inside their own bubble for as long as possible, because that truly is the safest place. They know that even if you make a very safe place, there's always still a risk of getting infected. But and everything the Broncos are doing is making it so that's as safe as possible. Like you said, that mister looked pretty fun to walk through, putting some protection on the players before practice. And everything outside of the practice field is 100% different than it's been in the past. The way that team meetings are set, Vic Fangio addresses the offense in the team meeting room while the offense is spread out and the defense is watching the offense and watching this meeting in a different room than Vic, because he's a defensive guy. He then goes and talks to the defense in person and leads the defense in meetings. But you would never see that happen in the past. Every time a player comes in, of course, they get their temperature checked. Now, right now in this process, daily COVID tests. They also put their phone in a medically certified sanitizer every time they come in. It sanitizes their phone, of course, the hand sanitizer. So they're making it as safe as possible right now.
So what players have tested positive or opted out so far for the Broncos?
Well, there's three guys in those two lists that you mentioned. The first one, Andrew Beck, has tested positive. He's the Broncos' tight end and fullback. He says he's feeling fine and was surprised by the positive test, so that's very good. And on the second list that you mentioned, guys that have opted out, two guys on that list, backup defensive lineman Kyle Pecco. He was a high-risk person, and his wife also had cancer, so he's going to get the $350,000 stipend. And not play this year. And the other one, just coming down the wire, Juwan James, the Broncos' highest paid offensive lineman and the guy that they were so desperately hoping for to help the right tackle position that they've so desperately needed for many years. He is opting out. Of course, he only played 63 snaps last year while battling injuries for the Broncos. So their high-priced right tackle is out this year, and that just leaves the Broncos in a world of hurt at both tackle positions.
Well, it sounds like a bit of a bummer, but overall a positive situation, all things considered. Okay, now let's get to the fun stuff, because that's why we're here. We want to talk fantasy. We like the touchdowns. We like the points. We want to look at our phones and see our lineups going up. And the Broncos project to be a very fun team this season. Although in an offseason where fantasy gamers are placing a little more of a premium on consistency, the Broncos have found themselves once again in transition on the offensive side of the ball. They're bringing in a new coordinator once again after an abysmal 28th place finish in both total yards and points scored and 29th in total plays run. But in comes a slew of new rookies with some sizzle, and Pat Shurmur has been brought in to helm the offense under second-year coach Vic Fangio. Shurmur isn't exactly an unknown, but like I said, that's a lot of transition. A lot of new weapons, a second-year QB, so we're going to need some help. Can you look into your crystal ball, Zach? Tell us, what can we expect from this team this year in terms of scheme, formation, tendencies, anything that helps us get a better feel for this squad?
Boy, you can expect better than the 28th best offense in the league. I don't think this is going to be a bottom five offense again like they've been for many years. I do think all the changes that they're bringing, including and led by Drew Lock and all the young guys on offense, that's going to help this squad be average. Now, what you can expect is a lot of three wide receiver sets. Now, just like Pat Shurmur did with the Giants last year, one of those wide receivers is going to be Noah Fant. It's going to be a tight end, just like he did with Evan Ingram. So you're going to see a lot of wide receivers on the field, and it's going to be led by Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy on the outsides. Then you're going to switch off between Noah Fant and KJ Hamler, maybe have both of those guys on the field as well. And then with the running backs, you're going to have two Pro Bowl running backs between Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. So from a fantasy perspective, and I know we're going to dive into each position, but from a fantasy perspective, I wish I could help a little more, because there's, like you said, the Broncos are going to have very big highs. They're also going to have some significant lows. You're going to score 31 points one week, come out the next week and score 9, because it's a new offense, a young quarterback learning a new system, all these young players. And by the way, they didn't get an offseason to work together. They're having to put this all together in about 6 weeks right now. So you're going to have some very bad performances where you probably bench some guys that you had. And then the next week they turn around and, you know, Drew Lock puts up 30 or 3 touchdowns and 300 yards. And he's sitting on your bench and you're pulling your hair out going, why did I bench him? And the next week you start him and they drop 12 points or something like that.
Volatility, it sounds like, is the key word here. You did mention an offseason where they're not working together a lot. I know that it came out in Dallas. Dak has been holding workouts at his house. He put in a football field. Have you heard of any Bronco workouts that maybe weren't exactly team official, but The guys getting on the field and working on that chemistry.
Well, Drew Lock did buy a house this offseason, but he's not at Dak Prescott money yet, so he didn't get the football field in his house. But they have been holding workouts together as players for many months at local high schools where Drew Lock was there. They got a lot of the offensive linemen there as well. And then a lot of the skill position players. You had Phillip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler there for many of them. And so they have been able to jumpstart it. And since they've got the playbook and were working on the playbook virtually with the coaches, they took the playbook without the coaches to those practice facilities that they were at and worked through them. So they did get a little bit of work on the side.
Well, that is something we like to hear. Let's talk a little bit more about that second year QB, Drew Lock, next. For most of his rookie season, he was actually a bit of an afterthought thanks to an early injury. But once he was fully healthy, Locke took the field in week 13 and never looked back, helping the Broncos finish 4-1 in the final stretch of the season. General manager John Elway saw enough to invest quite a bit in the offense to build around Locke, but fantasy gamers are a bit more skittish to invest since Locke both eclipsed over 200 yards and threw multiple touchdowns only twice during that run. Can you help us get an idea of what we're going to get from Drew Lock in year two?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. From a fantasy perspective, Drew Lock didn't really light it up. Just 200 yards per game last year, pretty much. But what I'll tell you is that was a major reason why former offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello is no longer in Denver. Rich Scangarello really, really wanted to be conservative with the Broncos, especially with the young quarterback. He didn't want to throw Drew Lock out there. Well, when Rich was told, let the young guy throw the ball, you had the Houston game where he threw for almost 350 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Now, am I saying you can expect that every single week this year? Absolutely not. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Of course not. But why they brought in Pat Shurmur was because Pat Shurmur's not going to be afraid to let Drew Lock sling it and rip it down the field. And this was the off season of Drew Lock. Now, you had Cortland Sutton and you had Noah Fant, but then you went out and got a first-round wide receiver. You went out and got a second-round wide receiver. Then you went out and got a Pro Bowl running back and Melvin Gordon. This was about setting Drew Lock up. So what can you expect from him this year? Kind of what I was talking about with the offense in general. You can expect some inconsistencies, but overall, I think it's going to be trending up. And as the year ends, I think that inconsistency is going to go away, and he's going to be a guy from fantasy perspective that – is worth having. Now, he's probably not your number one quarterback, but for his ceiling, I definitely would put him in as my backup.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. They're going to unlock Lock this season.
There you go.
I tried not to. I tried to convince myself not to go there, but I did. But I did. Moving on to the pass catchers. People are tuning in for this segment right here. There's a lot to talk about. This is a bit of a revamped wide receiver room from years past. Cortland Sutton made a big sophomore leap with 72 catches, over 1,100 yards, and 6 touchdowns. However, he didn't cross 80 yards after week 10 of the season, giving a lot of fantasy gamers pause, especially since Locke was the QB for a lot of those weeks. Now you bring in a highly touted prospect in Jerry Jeudy and speedy KJ Hamler, so there's even more intrigue to this situation. How are you seeing this room playing out on the field?
Well, here's the good news and bad news surrounding Cortland Sutton. Like you said, he trended significantly up last year with the season. He had 1,000 yards, Pro Bowl type of year, but he didn't do as well down the stretch. He also didn't do as well down the stretch his rookie season, when he actually had a very good rookie season. Then the last four games after the Broncos didn't have Emmanuel Sanders, after they traded Demaryius Thomas, he was shut down in those last four games of the season. What's he do? He comes out with a very strong start to the season his second year. And then, like you said, he kind of tapered off at the end. So I'm not concerned anymore that that slow finish is going to bleed in to the start of year three. But because it's happened twice, you may get a slow finish again. I'm not ready to sit here and say that, no, there's no way that that could happen. So that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Even if it is having a 1,000-yard season, let's say 13 games into the season, keep that in the back of your mind. But the rest of this unit is exciting, but it's young, and there's a lot of talent there. I mean, just between the receivers, you have a first round receiver who many thought Jerry Jeudy was the best receiver in the draft last year, and you have two second round wide receivers. By the way, one of them, Courtland Sutton, a Pro Bowler. So you have so much young talent. And the guys that aren't the young ones, like Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, I wouldn't really factor them in to the plans this year. I do think both of them make the roster, but I think this is going to be, let's throw the young guys out there. Let's live by them. Let's die by them. It's going to be a lot of Noah Fant. I know he's a tight end. Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, and KJ Hamler as wide receivers. I expect a very big year from Jerry Jeudy. Flirting with 1,000 yards, the last three first-round wide receivers from Alabama averaged 950 receiving yards their rookie season. I think Jerry Jeudy has the tools to fit in right there alongside that. And KJ Hamler, you're going to see, is especially from a fantasy perspective, a hit or miss guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see him have multiple 100-yard games with a couple touchdowns, and then other games where he has one catch for 11 yards.
A lot of the fantasy community is bashing heads, like Sutton is the alpha, Jeudy is the alpha. But it sounds like this offense might be a little bit more spread out. Is that Sutton? Is that Jeudy? Who are we? I mean, in your estimate, who knows this team so well, is there an alpha?
Yeah, I think between the top two, there's two big boys, and that's Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. I know Jerry Judy's a rookie, and I know Courtland Sutton's coming off a Pro Bowl year, but I truly think Jerry Jeudy is that good, and he is going to develop that relationship with Drew Lock right away. And what's Jerry Jeudy great at? Getting open. And for a young quarterback, that's what he wants, is a guy that is open right away. So that's why I don't see a big separation between Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy.
So we could see Jeudy eating into Sutton's ceiling a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if this was the same team as last year, the same receiving core, it wouldn't be crazy to be expecting a 1,400 yard season from Courtland Sutton, because outside of Noah Fant, there was no one to throw to after the Broncos traded Emmanuel Sanders. There was no one. But now there's so much talent.
The running backs are up next. The arrival of Melvin Gordon has seemingly nuked the value of Philip Lindsay, which seems a little crazy considering Lindsay has posted back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in a shared backfield role. But Melvin has been a certified fantasy stud in the past and comes onto a team with an improving line and looking to be a little bit more explosive, as we've talked about. How do you expect things to break down from this duo?
Man, this one is really tough. And you mentioned from a national perspective that the fantasy value of Philip Lindsay has nuked. And I think that is someplace where people can capitalize on. I don't think Philip Lindsay is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher again this year like he was in the past. But I also don't think that he's going to be this guy that does nothing. I think if the opinion out there nationally is that Philip Lindsay, he's a total afterthought, you pick him up and you can get a very good value for him. Now, if I am choosing one or the other, they're both at the exact same spot, I'm choosing Melvin Gordon because I think he's going to get the ball at the 5-yard line and be able to find the end zone. I think that's why they picked up Melvin Gordon, is for the short yard situations, whether it's third down at the 50 or whether it's first and goal from the 2, they're going to turn to Melvin Gordon. So obviously from a fantasy perspective, I like Gordon more, but I can see these guys each having 800 yards, 700 yards. I think Philip Lindsay is going to get more of a shot than people think, while Melvin Gordon is the first option, and he's also going to be the option in the red zone.
Lindsay did get a surprising amount of goal line work, but now you're expecting Melvin to get that load.
I am, and that's really the thing that makes sense about picking Melvin up. He's so good in the short yard situations, in the red zone as well, and it's not like he's averaging 5 yards a carry every single time he touches the ball. He's only averaged more than 4 yards per carry once, so if you're bringing him in for any other reason other than short yard situations, then it doesn't really make sense. Now, he will be the pass catcher out of the backfield too, which I just think helps his value even more.
And this is a run game we want to be invested in though, right? The Broncos, they put a priority on running the ball. Even though we have these new wide receivers and we want to throw the ball downfield, it feels like Denver is still a team that wants to pound it on the ground.
Especially with Drew Lock, a new offense, and all these young weapons for Drew Lock, they're going to rely on the run, especially at the beginning of the season. Now, from a fantasy perspective, it's tough because I do think it's going to be split 55-45 favoring Melvin Gordon. Now, I think you give maybe 60-40 to Melvin in terms of fantasy perspective because I do think he's going to be getting more touchdowns than Phil. But how do you weigh that in a fantasy perspective? I don't think either of those guys are necessarily sexy fantasy options this year, but from the Broncos backfield as a whole, if you could pick that up for fantasy, yeah, I really like that.
Philip Lindsay, I think if Melvin goes down, here's a guy you drafted late in your drafts. Now he's got his own upside and Melvin's upside as well. And I think that that's exciting to hear about as a potential possibility for a steal in the later rounds of your drafts.
Exactly. And vice versa. I think if one of these guys gets injured, which of course I hope doesn't happen, but if one of those guys gets injured, then that other guy, whoever you got as a steal, is going to be just that. He's going to be a steal. Very good value.
What about Royce Freeman? Are we completely writing him off? I mean, the guy had, I believe, 50 targets last year. He's the pass-catching back in Denver. Is he going to keep that role, or is he at risk of not making the team?
Yeah, you're writing him off. It's as simple as that. He is at risk of not making the team. Now, I would put the odds on him making the team just above 50-50. But the Broncos brought in an undrafted running back, Levante Bellamy, and a lot of people believe that he's going to push Royce Freeman for that third spot. And it's a massive drop-off, no matter who the third running back is, between after Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay, massive drop-off. It's going to be the Devontae Booker role that he had last year, and he barely did anything in terms of getting on the field. Like a couple of snaps every game he was on the field. That's what you're going to see from Royce.
R.I.P. Royce. I guess I shouldn't say R.I.P. That's bad. But he came into the league with a little bit of fanfare. He had a decent amount of draft capital. Is it third round pick, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to something a little bit more fun. And that's the tight end situation. The Broncos have a guy that's been a fantasy gamer favorite since his days as a top Debbie prospect in Noah Fant. So there's a lot of people out there who've been waiting to cash in on Fant's explosive athletic ability on Sundays on a routine basis for a while now. Can we expect that this season?
Absolutely. Noah Fant should be a guy that takes off in year two. And he already had a fantastic year one, broke all the Broncos tight end rookie records last year with the team. He's a guy around 600 yards last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see him up around 800 yards this year. He really took off the second half of the season, really developed a good chemistry with Drew Lock. And Drew, again, with a new system, he's going to need some checkdowns, some favorable guys to go to. And Noah Fant's going to be getting some favorable matchups because you're going to have to focus on Courtland Sutton on the outside. You're going to have to focus on Jerry Jeudy. And then you're going to have a matchup nightmare in the middle with Noah Fant because he runs a 4.5 40. And we saw his talent at the end of last season. That's only going to continue to take off this year, especially because Pat Shurmur knows how to use athletic receiving tight ends because he had Evan Engram.
Speaking of Drew Lock in chemistry, the Broncos also picked up his college tight end from Missouri and Albert O. I would attempt to say his last name, but I'm already having to edit out enough from my mistakes so far. So Albert O, shower narrative. What are we thinking about that?
Man, I love the draft pick. He was a fourth round pick by the Broncos. And here, I'll give it a shot. I said Albert O for the first couple of months as well. Albert Okwuegbunam. I think I got it there. He's going to be a very intriguing prospect. Now, because you have Noah Fant, he's not going to be on many people's radars this year. But if you're doing a dynasty, and this guy's available, I would pick him up. He had 17 touchdowns in two seasons with Drew Lock. The chemistry was crazy. And now the Broncos did cut Jeff Heirman, who could have been a third tight end this year. They have Nick Vinette, who they just picked up, who's going to be their primary run blocker as a tight end. But when you want two pass catchers on the field as tight ends, it's going to be Noah Fant and Albert O. And so I think Albert O is going to have 150 yards this year. I don't think it's going to be a crazy season by any means, but I think his value is only going to increase when he gets more playing time. So if you can pick him up in a dynasty league, I think that'll be a very good pickup because his chemistry with Drew is off the charts. And also he has all the physical attributes to be a very good receiving tight end. 2 years ago, Noah Fant was the fastest tight end at the combine, ran a 4.5 40. Last year, it was Albert O. He ran a 4.49 40. So the athleticism is there for sure.
Well, this Broncos team sounds absolutely loaded with speed and athleticism. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen. And because of that, we're going to get you out of here on kind of a tough one. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the Broncos in 2020?
I almost spilled the beans on this one earlier when we were talking about Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. But I think, and this goes beyond just a fantasy bold take, I think by the end of the season, Jerry Jeudy is the Broncos' best wide receiver. And it's not because Cortland Sutton takes a step back. It's because Jerry Jeudy is that good. And specifically from a fantasy standpoint, like you talked about earlier, Cortland Sutton has taken steps back at the end of each season in his first two seasons in the league. If he does that again, I already think Jerry Jeudy is going to take off as the season progresses. Man, those numbers could be pretty crazy once the Broncos are in the final stretch of the season. And I do think by the end of this year, Jerry Judy's the number one receiver. Cortland Sutton's the number two. And Cortland Sutton could even be Pro Bowl caliber. That's how good I think Jerry Jeudy can be.
Well, that's going to be music to a lot of fantasy gamers' ears, a lot of dynasty gamers' ears specifically. Once the Broncos took Jeudy, his stock fell a little bit, and he was trending towards the end of the first round of rookie drafts. So he was a value. And if he's walking out of this season as the top guy in an explosive offense, that's very exciting to hear. Zach, you've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
I'm on Twitter at Zach Stevens DNVR and writing on thednvr.com as well as doing the DNVR Broncos podcast. Man, this is always a blast. I love talking fantasy. Don't get to do it enough. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And until next year, stay safe out there and have a great rest of your training camp.
Right on. You too. And I look forward, just like everyone else, to watching some football.
Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver 1. You are now dialed in.